I have a very, very brief teaching just to bring us back to an anchor point of last Citywide. For those of you who weren't maybe at the Citywide, just want a little summary and a little kind of application, and then I want to hear from you. Maybe you did get the email asking for you to think about and pray about how you might contribute something this morning around your experience of peacemaking. What does it look like in your life this week to be a peacemaker, to plant seeds of peace? So I want you to think about that. Get your hearts and your mouths and your ready to share and contribute. Interesting, this week, Mr. Spock, Leonard Nimoy, died. Many of you know him, half Vulcan character of Star Trek. You might know this gesture. I can't do it without a little bit of aid for me. You know that gesture. What does it mean? Live long and prosper. All right. How many of you know the real story behind that, where he actually got that gesture? Some of you maybe read the email that's been circulating on Facebook. Interesting, in his autobiography, I Am Not Spock, he described the moment as a child going into an Orthodox Jewish synagogue in a worship time with his father. His father said to him as they entered into this time of worship where the priest was leading this time, and the father said to him, "Son, remember Moses. When Moses saw God, he had to keep his eyes closed. He only saw the backside of God. He could not see God's face. So when you go into this time of worship, it's a sacred moment and you need to keep your eyes closed. It's a time of sacred worship." So they go into this time of worship. Leonard, his eyes are closed and he can hear the priest leading. And he said curiosity got the better of him. He peeked. And he saw something very, very interesting. He saw the priest, see if I can do this, in this with the hand gestures, okay? And I wish this one would cooperate a little bit more, okay? And he was bowing down and he was praying like this. And a word that he kept uttering was this word, shalom. Now, you might wonder, what's with the and it's really three points pointing to heaven. What is that signifying? Well, it's the Hebrew letter shin, which has three upward strokes similar to the position of the thumb and fingers in the salute. And the letter shin here stands for three things. El Shaddai, meaning Almighty God, as well as something you're familiar with, those of you who read the Old Testament, Shekinah glory. What's Shekinah glory? It's really the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit filled the temple, the Shekinah glory. The Jewish mindset, this is the feminine side of God, the Shekinah glory. And the third thing is shalom. Isn't that cool? It never left him. So when they were on the movie set of the first scene of Star Trek, he met another Jewish actor and he greeted her with this symbol. And it took. That was it. And it stayed with him from that point on, and it was part of the movie, part of the series. And I just love that. Shekinah glory, El Shaddai, and shalom. Shalom. The idea of shalom, we talked about this last Citywide. We talked about what it means to be people of peace, people of shalom. It's interesting, this week I've been listening to CBC periodically, and once in a while, Mr. Martin, the planter guy, what's his name? Minter Gardens, right? And he comes on and he gives this gardening kind of tips for the season. And And what I didn't realize, and of course, it makes sense, that now is the time where people are picking their seeds. What are they going to be planting this year? It's interesting, in this time, we're talking about what it means to be people who plant seeds of peace. And I get a sense that that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. He's calling us to be planters of peace, planting seeds of peace. As a summary, we talked about shalom. And I think for me to understand shalom, for us to understand shalom, we talked about what happens when shalom is broken. It's really a definition of sin. I love this definition of sin. It's the culpable disturbance of shalom. The culpable disturbance of shalom. Shalom is the Hebrew word for peace, wholeness, health, justice, salvation, blessing. Shalom is how God wants things to be. It would be a picture of God's kingdom. It's why when Jesus came, he was about the business of healing and saving and restoring, making all things new, complete, and whole. His ministry was about restoring shalom. Disturbance. Well, we all know things are not the way they're supposed to be. We all know that. Turn on the news. Hear stories at the coffee shop. Stories of broken relationships. And it's so many examples in our culture that reminds us that shalom has been disturbed, right? And culpable. Culpable is guilt. It's deserving blame. It's blameworthy or taking responsibility. Culpable would mean, yeah, I actually have a part to play in disturbing shalom. I have a part to play. I am not always responding rightly and correctly. I'm not always making right choices. And I actually am not always, even though I want to be, about building shalom, building God's kingdom. Sometimes I, through my choices and actions, sometimes disturb shalom. As I've been thinking about shalom and this definition of shalom and us talking about what it means to be people of peace, I can't help but think about the shalom or the lack of shalom among the churches here in Squamish. I wish it wasn't so. I wish I could say that, you know what, all the churches here in town are about shalom, that we are unified, that we are pulling in the same direction. But I can't say that. In fact, as I've been reflecting on this idea of shalom, the last number of months, I've been praying that God would bring about His shalom, His wholeness, His health in the church, not just the River Church, but the church, capital C, in Squamish. And as we talked about it last citywide, sometimes saying a hard word or speaking truth in a situation, risking unsettling some things in order to bring about shalom, is sometimes necessary. Shalom isn't just keeping the peace. And I think right now, among the churches, everybody's kind of keeping the peace, but it's not real shalom. I wonder, as we talk about shalom, we talk about reflecting shalom in our homes, in our families, I wonder how many of you smell a rat. I wonder how many of you sit there and go, you want us to reflect shalom in our families, in our community, but you guys, as pastors, you can't even do this. I wonder how many of you actually, if you're not verbalizing it, you're actually thinking it. Well, I've been thinking that too. What does shalom look like in the church? What does it look like in your lives? What does it look like in your families? So that's a little bit of my reflection. This last Sunday at our simple church, I was hearing stories of a few of the people in our house church about how God, by His Holy Spirit, has been putting on their hearts to pursue peace, plant seeds of peace in relationships and pursue reconciliation. And as I was sitting there listening, it was like the Holy Spirit just so spoke to me, and it was so clear. Darcy, now's the time. You see, I've been praying for months. Lord, is it time? Is it time? And it was like the Holy Spirit said, now's the time. You need to take the risk. You need to go approach with an olive branch one particular pastor and get this kind of thing in motion. It's a huge risk. I'm terrified. I've been hurt, and it's a huge risk to go back there, but I sense the Holy Spirit saying, now's the time. And at the end of our simple church, I had this on my heart. I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying this, and then somebody closed in prayer and in tears prayed for unity among the churches. Man, I was sunk. I held back all my tears and everything that was going on for me, because now the kids were all coming in and everybody wanted to get their food, and I'm like, all right, I got to shut this down. But man, I was a mess inside. That's what planting seeds of peace is going to look like for me. I've made an appointment. We're going to meet on Wednesday. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to plant seeds of peace. I don't know how that's going to go. I have a hunch it's going to be a number of discussions. But I think I'm moving in the right direction. I've got my seeds in my pocket, and I'm going to go across town. So would you pray for that? But I want to hear from you. What has peacemaking been looking like for you this last 2 weeks? Anybody have any stories to tell? Or even if you want to contribute or say something in regards to what I've just spoken into.
Okay. So I shared this story on Sunday at Simple Church. And it's actually a story of how I disrupted or disturbed the shalom and what God's been doing with that. So it was quite a while back in 2010, actually, that this incident happened, where I was helping some friends of mine look after their dog, go and feed it while they were in the city. They had to go to the city for work and stuff, and they were gone for extended periods of time. And so they asked if I would be that person who would go and let their dog out to go to the bathroom and feed it. I said, yeah, sure, I'd love to do that. And they had just moved to Squamish. My husband's known this man since he was in his teens, and so they have this great relationship, and we're really excited to have them in Squamish. And I thought I'd love to help them out in this way. At the same time, I was busy building a business and also closing on our condo that we have now. My husband wasn't around, so I was really busy doing a lot of stuff. And one particular day, at the end of my day, I fell asleep on the couch. And I woke up to the phone ringing. And I was like, whoa, startled. I'd probably been asleep for a couple of hours, and the phone rang. And it was the gentleman, and he said, hey, Laura, did you come in today and feed the dog and let the dog out? I said, yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah. And he said, okay, thanks. And I put the phone down, and then I stopped, because I sort of woke up, and I thought, I didn't feed the dog. I slept through it. And so what I did was I continued to lie. There was this part that my pride got in the way. My very first thought was, oh my goodness, I'm this Christian, and what have I just done? And I've just told this lie. And so I wanted to, rather than be honest and upfront, I covered it up with more lies. So I think he called me the next day and said, are you sure that you went into the house? So he gave me an opportunity to tell the truth. Are you sure you went into the house and let the dog out? I said, yeah, I went in the house. Yeah, I did. Yeah, you know. And he said, Laura, I just need you to stop there. I called the alarm company, and they said no one came through the door at all that day. So I know that you did not come into the house. I'm a police officer. I investigate. That's what I do. Did you think that I wasn't going to follow through? And I was devastated. I was embarrassed. I was broken. I was thinking, what kind of example am I as a Christian? And I was in tears. I didn't even know what to do. So I said, all right, you're right. I said, I think maybe we had a couple of conversations, but I was able to say, I was wrong. I lied. And I'm so ashamed that I couldn't tell the truth when you gave me that opportunity to. I wanted to cover it up and kind of make it okay. I wanted to seem like I was perfect and couldn't make mistakes, and my pride got in the way. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? It won't happen again, because I now have I set my watch at 5:45 so that if I was busy or whatever, got distracted, my timer would go off on my watch and I could go to his house and feed the dog. So I thought, you know, everything was taken care of. Will you please forgive me? I'm really sorry. Can we move forward? And unfortunately, the relationship broke down. He and his wife were not willing to forgive me. That was something that they couldn't do. And so I was devastated. So the enemy had a heyday with me for quite a while, where I thought, you know, I've just ruined this. What kind of person am I? Oh, my goodness, you know, Lord, I'm so sorry that I'm not, you know, a great example of you to this couple who don't know you. And this is the example that I show of you. And I just cried and cried a lot of nights and would speak to Jason about it. And finally, I thought, I can't stay. And I felt like I was pulling away from God as well, because I was just, there was this sin that was between us. And I remember a long time ago, as a new Christian, I was at this church and they were setting up the sound system. And I saw this man speak to his daughter, said, I need you to stay here. I'm going to go up here and set up the sound system. Please don't go away. I need to know where you are. Well, the girl got distracted and she ran off, and the father looked for her in her place where she was supposed to be, and she wasn't there. And I could sort of see the panic in his eyes. And then he caught her like way off in the auditorium somewhere, and she looked at her dad, and she knew that she had disobeyed her father. But what was so beautiful is that she ran to her father. Rather than running away from her father, she ran to her father. And so I remember that at this time. I thought, I need to run to my father. That's the safest place for me to be. That's the best place for me to be, because he's going to tell me the truth about who I am. And so that's what I did, and that was my sanctuary. That was my safe place. So back then in 2010, I felt like I planted some seeds of peace, of reconciliation. I didn't really know what else to do. So fast forward, it's now 2015. It's been almost 5 years. And it's just now that those seeds are poking through the ground, and we're our relationship more with the woman than the man, but she said to me a couple of times, oh, his name says to say hello. And that to me is like, that's the most that he can do right now. It's kind of his little thing of saying that little olive branch, if you will, almost like he could probably never say, I forgive you, or, you know, let's move forward. But to say, that her husband says hello. And, so it doesn't always go well when you're the person that, if you're seeking to be that peacemaker, it may not always go well. It may not end the way that you thought it would. But that's not your responsibility. Our only responsibility is to be obedient and trust God with all of that. And it's taken almost 5 years now for the seeds that were planted back then to begin to pop up. So I just want to encourage you that, you know, it's never too late. Doesn't matter how much time has gone by. If that's what God's saying to you, be obedient to Him.
Thanks, Laura.
I think what we're going to do now is we have a beautiful opportunity to hear from Gaylene. How many of you have met Gaylene, have heard Gaylene? We as a church have a relationship. It's called Seamless Link Covenant. And a number of years ago, I had a chance to visit Cuba in the ministry that